Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
There's a guy in northern Wisconsin named Steve Avery. In 1985, he was convicted of a sexual assault, and then 18 years later, he was released because of new DNA evidence.
Right. So he sues the police for $36 million. And what would be the easiest way to make that go away? Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
I'm George Chen.
And you're listening to the SupDoc Podcast.
SupDoc is a show where we talk to interesting people with strong opinions about their favorite documentaries.
And in this episode, we review Making a Murderer, the 2015 documentary that captured America's attention and was the subject of constant discussion.
Today we talk with comedian, co-host of Boars, Gore, and Swords, Red Scott.
So we're here with Red Scott. Hi, Red. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hello, Red.
Welcome to SupDoc.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. We also have our producer on the mic with us, Will Scovel.
How's it going?
The only guy who can hear himself. Yeah.
He's got the cans on. And we are talking about what? Making a Murderer.
Holy shit.
Now, were you already interested in this, or was it I asked you, or that we knew that you were interested already?
That's right. I think literally I commented on one of Paco's Facebook comments about it.
Yes, you did.
And that's how he knew. And he could tell from my tone of Facebook engagement that this is a topic I had some thoughts on.
Every time we brought this up, I was like, Red Scott, we need to talk to Red Scott about this.
So I don't know how you want to go through it, because I feel like there's two important questions. There's a million things. It's a 10 episode long, could have been 8, by the way. But I feel like Making a Murderer. Do you want to set the scene at all? What we're describing?
If you've never heard of this before and you are brand new to Earth,
have some self respect. Some people just like George Chen and want to hear what he thinks.
That's true.
Or Paco Romaine.
Yeah.
And you have to explain to them this show that they've never heard. Maybe the
people.
Do you know
what Netflix is?
Yeah. Maybe the people who listen to this have enough money to listen to a free podcast, but not enough for Netflix.
Right.
Yeah, that's a possible.
Good point. That's
a between good point. $8 and $0 a month.
They're in that window.
This might be Netflix's most popular documentary ever, I would imagine.
Well, yeah. I mean, how many
with the qualification
documentaries
of documentary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
proper.
In their documentary column.
And that, listen, among the streaming only 10 episode
docu-series,
true crime,
web-only documentaries.
Right.
This has to be one of the top 10 of all
this
time.
This is a big one.
It's incredible.
Now that you've heard, it's a whodunit crime docu-series on Netflix that stormed America.
It's less of a whodunit and more of a did he do it?
Yeah.
Like, did he do a documentary?
It stars Stephen Avery, a man who looks like Homer Simpson come to life. Like, he's just like, I mean, if you converted him into an actual human being with that approximate intelligence, you would have Stephen Avery. And listen, I actually have a very soft spot for Stephen Avery. You can't see me. He looks like a lot of my relatives, or me if I make some bad choices for about 10 years.
Right.
Like, it's not.
He looks kind of like a fat redneck Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah, yeah. And which I feel like
a juggalo in the making.
Absolutely. Yeah.
By the way, the only reason anybody who watches that thinks he's innocent is because he's not from the South. You take Stephen Avery. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice, gentle Fargo Midwestern accent,
does.
And
yeah.
It's very. It's like I'd ask that man for a cup of sugar.
Yes, you would.
You put him in Alabama, and everybody'd be like, "He fucking did
he
that."
He did everything. Yes, he did it all.
Did that.
He did everything that he isn't even accused of.
That classy Midwesterner.
Yeah,
yeah. He just wasn't wearing overalls. I mean, that's
wearing underwear.
No, well, good point.
Yeah, we did find that. out.
We do find that out in the first episode.
Free balling.
That he does is free ball all over the place.
He may be violent enough to go commando. Yeah.
Right.
I want to set, like, has everybody here seen all 10 episodes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. On mic, yes. People on mic. All of us.
Okay.
Mic.
Everybody. Yeah.
In the room.
Another person here? No.
There's
not on
a
mic?
Guy who keeps wandering in and out.
Yeah.
Well, like, seen.
We're not counting cats.
Okay.
Just human people.
George, Paco, Will, and Red.
Yeah. Okay, everybody's all come out. There's two questions that this documentary, I feel like, brings up. One, do you think he should have been, him and his nephew should have been guilty of their prospective crimes? And then two, are they guilty?
Right.
Because those are two very different questions. And I feel like you'd get a lot of people might agree on the first one, and then the second one, you might get some divergent opinions.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So once again, are Brandon and Steven, did they commit it? And then
sure.
And then secondly, are they guilty?
Right.
Yes.
The three things.
No. Sorry. Should they be guilty? Should the law?
Guilty? Oh, should the
should
law?
Should the law find them guilty?
Because of the evidence presented.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
Which is
because there's a case where you completely believe they did it.
Yeah.
But you also believe the police are completely corrupt and just cut whatever corner they could to get them in jail, despite. You know,
right?
Whatever.
And I feel like watching each episode. I watched all 10, then I watched maybe five different episodes. And the entire time, I vacillate between, he's innocent. Fuck, he's guilty. Oh, he's innocent. Oh, he's guilty. Like that's where I went. Did you do that at all?
Well, here's the thing. I am fucking gullible. There was a documentary that came out in 1997 that was called "When Cars Attack." At the time, I believe I was 13, 14 years old, and it was a Fox mockumentary that had kind of a disclaimer at the beginning, but it wasn't too assertive. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the premise of this documentary is that in the entire life of Cars, there's a part that Henry Ford put into Cars that made them sentient, and they're killing us. It was an hour-long documentary, and I completely believed it.
Oh my God,
13 and a half-year-old me was convinced by this documentary. And basically, it was a parody of these types of documentaries that are misleading you.
Right.
And it was hosted by Richard fucking Belzer.
Oh, wow.
It was on Fox. Yeah. It was like on a network show. It had decent production values.
Right.
And like they had even the stuff where they have like cars running people over. It's like this hazy footage, so it looks like it's all from... Right. Security cams and stuff like that.
I kind of 100%
believe it.
Now that you mentioned Richard Belzer.
So I believed that cars are sentient and trying to kill us.
Right.
So I don't believe that any of these people in any of these documentaries have killed anybody. Right. I don't believe that Stephen Avery killed anybody. I don't believe that Brandon, what's his name?
Dassey
has killed anybody. I don't believe Adnan Syed killed anybody.
Robert Durst?
No. Yes.
Robert Durst?
Robert Durst killed a hell of people.
Yeah, he did. He killed hell of people.
You're gullible. That's why. Yeah.
No, that was the one where I was like, I was watching that and I was like, this looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
This doesn't look too good.
All his burping. Mm-hmm. So much burping.
So I will come out and say that I do not believe that Stephen Avery did it. I don't. And most of the time through it, I didn't. And yeah, I'd have, if you put it up to me. Like
it's you're the juror. Number
if I'm
12.
The juror, like yeah, I'm gonna be like nah.
Yeah.
And what if they're like, dude? I'd be like nah. Mm-hmm. I would stick with it.
If the
some
judge
of the jurors
pressed
in that
you
room.
With nah, more dudes,
yeah, dude,
dude,
that,
dude. Listen, raw.
Nah.
That brings up
fucking nah,
fucking nah.
That
dude.
Brings up a third question. That uh-oh. if he didn't. Who did?
Yeah.
Because
so,
she.
So
is
no,
dead.
this is a big pet peeve of mine because I feel like a lot of people. Are made uncomfortable by the idea that somebody's murdered and we have no idea who did it. Mm-hmm. And so like the focus should be like, do we have proof that Stephen Avery did it? And like that, this gets to the divide where I'm talking. But like a lot of people will be like, well, then you're like, I don't think Stephen Avery did it. You know, I don't think he should be in jail. And people are like, well, who did do it? I'm like, I don't know. They didn't talk about that for 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... And I think... I suspect there's legal reasons they can't do that. I said, because Serial didn't do that either. And that seems like a lot of people seem to think that they were implying that it could have been Jay in Serial. Not to cross docs. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the policy is.
No, we
that.
Can cross docs.
Fair enough. Yeah. We just brought up Durst, yeah.
So. Yeah, but I feel like there's a legal reason why they can't do that. And I think a lot of people, until you give them an alternate theory, they're going to say, based on what I know, this seems like the most likely person. Right.
Well, but there's also not like, in this case, it is not like, okay, they found the body, say, on the beach or something. You know?
Fair.
Yeah.
You know, they found it. Like, right. They, not only did they find her body or what was left of it.
Charred bones.
Yeah. her personal effects, her car, and evidence right. that the two of them were together and had some sort of now
interaction.
And inside of her car, they found blood from both of them. So whether or not you believe about the planting of the blood evidence. So
obviously.
It's not only that, like, not only who else would have done it, but who else would have gone through the trouble of setting all that stuff up.
No, I completely disagree, because I think all the stuff that appears as a setup is so transparent. Did you see the pictures of the like, I mean, do you remember the Toyota RAV4? It like had a board leaning up against it. It was like a kindergartner's version of like, I've hidden this car.
Yes. Could have smashed it.
Can't you see how I hid it?
But
it felt like an idiot person was like, I'm trying to frame Steve Avery.
They are two idiots, though.
They are two idiots, though. Those guys are not very smart.
Well, collectively, they have 140 IQ, collectively.
Like, they're not the brightest guys in the world who are doing this, so I would, like... Yeah, I totally leave it.
However, you don't think he's too dumb to lie? I feel like he's too dumb to lie.
I don't think he's too dumb to lie.
But then Brandon's too dumb to lie, but he doesn't like stay consistent.
But
with
he did
of his
lie to the cops when he.
Oh,
said
he lied
he
to everybody.
Yeah, but he lied to himself. I think.
Like he's just.
That's where it all starts. Is when you lie to
yourself.
Yeah,
he's just an idiot who just like will say yeah to anything.
Yeah,
which is what I think got him in the mess in the first. I think he had something to do with getting rid of the body.
No.
Just because he's that stupid, and then
I'm
he
so
would
glad
say whatever.
On mic for this. dissenting. Because I don't know what I think, honestly, at this point.
But then
know.
At the same time, they had that whole story about, like, oh no, like in the bedroom, cuffed to the bed, sliced her throat, stabbed her in the stomach,
shot her.
And I'm like, yeah, but they can't clean that up, man. No. They found nothing inside that apartment.
Okay, so
my apartment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, I couldn't hide blood in my apartment.
So I want to see like who thinks like whether or not he should be guilty. Like, forget about the prosecutors. Mm-hmm. Based on what you saw in those 10 episodes, who thinks Stephen Avery killed Teresa Halbach?
Oh, I think so.
So that's one. Yes, that's one. I'm no.
I'm a no.
You're a no?
Yeah.
Okay. And then
I think that there's reasonable doubt that he did not.
So yeah, you're still in a maybe.
I mean, just don't have a compelling. I don't. Yeah, I'm a fence guy.
You're a fencer.
I don't really like to come. I mean, like, this took me a long time to watch because I was actually like, kind of bummed out about all of it. But I no, thank you.
It's a bummer, especially the 7th and 8th episode that are very boring. Those are real bummers.
Well, that's where I kind of watched. I knew what was going to be happening, and then by like the third one, I was like, oh, there's so many twists and turns.
Yeah,
because I think that's when maybe they brought Brendan in as the third one.
Yeah,
and then Then 7, I just like stopped in the middle of it, and I literally tried to watch it the other night, and I just like fell asleep watching it. But then today, I got through the and you're right, that last one is just purely prologue.
Well, that's
or, I mean,
which
epilogue.
One is the one where they're talking about like whether or not his testimony should be able to
where the Brendan's should be counted,
like because they're like
that might have been 5 or 6.
A big thing like that was that Roger had already been convicted, gone to jail.
The guy from the first crime, the 85 crime.
No. This is
Roger.
Roger Avery? No.
No,
Stephen Avery.
Stephen Avery.
Yeah. Okay. Stephen Avery had already been convicted of this crime and gone to jail based on the testimony of dude. And then his trial comes up.
Oh, Brendan's trial. That's
and then they're
eight.
Saying,
that's 8.
Should that testimony be admitted to this trial? And so that's why they put that episode in the documentary.
No.
Oh my God.
And they ultimately said yes. And if they had said no, it can't, that would have changed the whole... Because that was a big basis for Stephen's trial.
We're talking about Brendan's, not Bob. Like, what happened with Bobby's? What happened with Bobby's testimony? Did that end up getting thrown out?
Bobby
said that
he was with somebody else, and that other
he was
person
with the
said
brother.
with Bobby.
Oh no, Bobby was with Barb's husband.
Jesus, these
Strasick
fucking names.
And this is also when you say like who potentially did it. That there were some theories that got thrown around.
Yeah,
there was
Scott Tadich.
Steve. Scott, right. Yes. So that's who was with Bobby, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah,
they were each other's alibi.
They weren't hunting and they crossed,
but they were each other's alibi.
They were each other's alibi. And no one else that day had seen either of them except for each of them saw each other on their way to go hunting, apparently.
So that's one thing that was thrown out there as a possibility. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily set up a motive, other than everyone abused women, apparently, yes. in the entire family.
It is the North.
There was a lot of
it is
beating.
The North.
It's a lot of beatings.
You know how those Starks are.
Yeah, it is the North. They get very mad. All they can do is drink.
Red will make a lot of Game of Thrones references yes. throughout this, do, because that's what he's also
they
does.
Do that's have, what I'm used to doing, Mike.
Which is what? Oh,
Game,
yeah.
of Game of Thrones references.
That's right, the Game of
I'm actually not even caught up on that last season. I watched what? The first two, and then I kind of like...
Insane. Everybody lives that season. It's crazy. Like, they actually... It's just kind of like an...
Don't throw me off. You're not, totally psyching me out.
Not,
okay,
you know.
Ah, no, please.
Every
I will
family
catch up.
Makes it through unscathed.
I will catch up.
I'm lying.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't catch that.
I was making jokes.
I was gullible. Sorry.
It's still
you
Game
were
of
gullible.
Thrones.
Red is a comedian, and I am not anymore.
I'm not a trustworthy witness.
No, you're not.
You should have sworn me
you
in
should
if
have
you
been,
wanted.
Should have worked for the Manitowoc County Police Department.
Manitowoc County, not city.
Has anyone been on a jury?
Yes.
No.
I almost was. I was so close. I was almost the last jury member. Mm-hmm. That was actually, I swear to God, it was a crime that I wasn't able to find, but it's apparently pretty high profile in San Francisco. This was like a year ago or year and a half. And it was like two kids, like they were like 15 and they murdered somebody, and I guess it was gang related. And anyway, long thing. Like, it was one of those things to because they knew a bunch of people were going to be filtered out. First day you show up, there's 800 people for one jury selection, so that you like fill out a paper. And what I didn't realize is everybody else was just lying. Like, everybody else was just writing whatever they wanted to get out of it. And I wrote something that I thought would get me out of it, but did not. I forget what it was. Thank you, sir. And the second day, so we come back, and basically I didn't realize the way it works is they like. I guess they have a priority, and they start calling people up. And as soon as they get 12 seats full, it's over. So it's like you're just like waiting for, hoping every person who goes up there is going to get picked. Mm-hmm. They're asking questions of, and they had gotten to 11, and they finally got to me after like 3 hours. So I'm like I'm on the bubble, and I'm like, oh fuck, I decided I wasn't going to lie to get out of it. So it's like I was too good of a juror, and the prosecution dismissed me.
Because you were too going to be too fair
about
it?
I was going to be too fair about it. Like, they were asking, I was trying to, like, I asked them for, they came up with the question was something like, would you be willing, it was a very boilerplate question they asked me, just as like a starting point. And like, would you be willing to convince somebody to the death penalty based on reasonable doubt? Or something like that. I was like, well, like, what's reasonable doubt? And they had like just a very long, it's like, say there's like a kid and he's eating cookies and he gets like crumbs all over himself.
Was it like, did they have like the suitcase from Blade Runner that they were
That would have been perfect. Yeah.
Replicant test?
Yes.
No, it was something like this. It was like, say like you're in a locked house.
What's a turtle?
And there's a plate
What's
of cookies.
A tortoise?
There's a plate of cookies, and there's a kid there.
Uh-huh.
And then you leave the room, and you're the only two people in the house. And you come back, and the cookies are gone, and there's crumbs all over the kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you put that kid to death?
Yeah. Would you kill that kid?
Would you kill that kid? It depends
personally,
on the cookie.
With a machete.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I don't know.
And basically,
we went back and forth a couple of times.
And on the jury selection.
No, they were giving me more examples. Yeah. And like the one who was finally, the judge was okay with my response. I forget what I said, but the prosecutor was like, would you say it's like, I forget what the, like reasonable to say that I have a heartbeat. And it was like, you could have like you could have one of those fake hearts. Like it could, you might not have a pulse. And then, by the way, that line killed.
Yeah. You're just like, these are great jury bits.
The defense fucking lost their shit.
Was there an applause break?
There was a straight up round of laughter.
Nice.
So the thing is, they don't want other people to realize, like, oh, if I just say this, I'm out of it.
Right.
So they asked like a couple more boilerplate questions, and then it was like, okay, they like both went and huddled with the guy, just to like throw everybody off. And then he's like, thank you.
Yeah, you're dismissed. Yeah. Juror 42.
By being too witty.
Yeah.
too good at it.
Yeah, too good. That was a reasonable question.
Yeah.
Like, Chaney didn't have a heartbeat. Like,
no, that's for sure.
That's true. That's literal.
Right, I know. Right. Like, he can. Electric. It's
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
It's battery powered heart.
By the way, how is that? I don't think I've ever heard somebody do that in stand up. But like, Chaney literally doesn't have a heartbeat.
That is true. We are one like malfunction away to having George Bush be our president. Huh?
Yep.
You see? Oh, wait, see who was in charge? Joke. Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Oh man.
So Stephen Avery, clearly innocent. We all agree.
I think we can all agree.
Will is turning bright red.
But Len, there's so many. So
I wouldn't let him cat sit.
We've all agreed on that. But let's get to the who thinks he should have been guilty. Like who thinks he should have been? Who thinks that the prosecution didn't do something illegal or shitty, or that like his defense was so incompetent that he should have gotten a second trial.
Oh, a second trial, most definitely.
Len Chesinski or whatever his name
was. Oh, we're
talking
about Brendan? That's Brendan.
No, he was Len.
Len Chesinski worked on.
Yeah, he was originally. He was originally Stephen's lawyer.
Right. Yeah. That guy is the worst.
That guy was.
Oh, that guy was terrible.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that guy did not have. Stephen's best.
He looked like a puppet.
No.
Oh God. Yeah.
He did not
like,
have his best. That was
by the way,
aging Howdy Doody.
Everybody on the internet has said this. Just search Twitter, Len Chesinski, and then William H. Macy. And you can see like every single person being like Fargo season 3. Len Chesinski.
They're going to make a movie about this.
Oh,
they're going
sure.
to have to make like a big theatrical. I know this has already happened, but
no. So I'm confused by that. Like as somebody, like if I have a book I like.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make a movie about it. I'm not like, oh my God, they're going to make a movie out of my book. I already have the book. And like, I feel like the documentary is even worse.
Oh yeah.
Because we already have reality.
Oh, I know.
I don't need to see a dramatization of the reality, which we are already experiencing.
I'm not going
to
see it.
But there's so many people are excited by that stuff and I don't get it.
Yeah.
They'd rather
rather watch the documentary. Hence the podcast.
Absolutely.
In 20 years, it'll be like the People versus OJ, which is like premiering like yesterday or something.
Oh, yeah. I do want to see that.
Or tonight or something. Yeah. But Kaczynski was Brendan Dassey's lawyer.
I think he represented both of them for varying periods of time, but he was Stephen Avery's lawyer initially.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. That guy was a jerk.
That guy was a jerk.
That guy was the worst.
Well, also then...
Yeah. No, he even definitely though, should have been... I say mistrial
absolutely.
For that.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There should have been... Brendan though, needed a mistrial.
Even though I think...
Not Stephen?
Even though I think Stephen did it, I think that lawyer was terrible. Mm. It was awful.
Yeah.
And Ken Krantz... I for sure think Ken Krantz pulled some shit.
Let me
be specific. I believe he illegally planted his semen on some young women. Like, based on what happened.
Yeah, he did.
Would you like a discreet amount of semen delivered to you?
He took it out of a vial.
Like,
waited.
That was like Silence of the Lamb style. Just
put it on their steering wheel.
There's ETDA in the semen.
That guy is full of just fucking corruption and...
His quiet voice, though. Doesn't it weirdly calming?
It's the weirdest.
It's so eerie, dude.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying I like it. Like I enjoy it. Like I just like that it is coming out of that weird body.
I just want to take it. It's when people speak that
he
meekly,
looks and sounds like a balloon deflating.
Yes, he does. He also very much looks like one. He's I know. It's and you know he's just like Rotary Club Republican golf course, just racist. Blech.
I like you're going to do it. You're going to do the
voice. I'm trying. I'm thinking about it. I don't think I have that like voice in my range.
You guys done with that popcorn?
Yeah. He's basically...
I could eat your popcorn.
He's the old... Do you remember like the old Family Guy? He was the old man who hit on Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, boys. Hey there, Chris.
Hey, I can't very do discreet.
God damn it.
Would you like... Do you like power?
Do you like popcorn?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gross. That guy
actually that
gross.
That was pretty like yours was close to both of them. I feel like
I was in the middle.
I feel like you were finding
it's all in the
You like popcorn? You
like there's popcorn? A lot of good characters in here. There's a lot of crazy characters.
There's too many almost.
Oh man. Okay, so if we're gonna talk about Kaczynski, because I just watched 7, 8, 9, 10 today.
Okay.
So some of the other stuff's a little hazy, but I didn't remember exactly what his involvement was in the other case. I do remember like just having the fact that his investigator is grilling Brendan with all these details.
Oh, God.
And then, like, cries at the trial. Like,
when he was talking about, like, that ribbon.
The ribbon
I was
from
like,
the
give
church.
Me a break. Yeah. Come on,
and
man.
It's just awful. Like, this was supposed to be his, like,
he was rock hard in that scene.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Ugh. He was rock hard in that scene. Well, what was that guy's name?
Mark O'Keefe.
Oh, yeah.
Mark O'Keefe. Ken Kranz, I believe, was malicious and did something illegal. Len Chasinski, Kaczynski, Subminsky.
Coburn's the other guy that gets... Lenz and Coburn are brought up a lot.
Lenz and Coburn, I felt like, if they're the ones I'm thinking of, I felt like they were thugs. Yeah. Like, I felt like maybe they did something illegal, but it's because somebody asked them to.
Coburn found the key, right?
That's the thing, that, like, even though I think Steven did it, I think he, like... I think there was some shit going on with the cops. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think he... Because everything that they were saying about what happened inside that house, I do not believe a word of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that key was just there. I don't believe they were even firing shots in the garage.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't believe any of that. I do believe that Stephen Avery killed that woman, though.
Well, I will say, as somebody, again, who has a lot of relatives who own land that looks like that, who look like that, it's possible we're related. They definitely fired guns inside that and every part of their house. Like, what do you mean? Yeah.
That's true.
Especially if that garage door goes up. Like, why wouldn't you fire?
Yeah.
Like,
well, apparently the garage was also full of deer blood, because that's where he was cleaning deer that he would shoot and hunt. And
that he would shoot that got trapped in his garage.
Yeah.
Like,
No. But apparently scrubbed clean of Teresa Halbach's blood, but not of the deer blood.
Yes.
They still found deer blood.
Right.
So they were able to differentiate between the blood.
Yeah. Apparently. And then there was nothing in his bedroom where she was apparently stabbed in the stomach and
according
had her throat
to
slit and
Brendan's.
Raped.
Yeah.
On top of a bunch of very absorbent surfaces.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there was nothing.
Yeah. But you still think he's guilty.
Absolutely.
And that's based I like
that
it.
Is
I like
based it. That is based on the vehicle
dislike of fat people.
Yeah. The vehicle on the property.
Clearly planted.
The bones in the burn pit.
Right.
Oh, clearly. What? Like you'd the phone. I'm gonna kill her and burn her outside my bedroom window. Yeah. Nobody will find out.
Yeah.
The phone and the camera inside the burn barrel.
Yeah.
All that there, and then the idea that the cops killed the woman and then placed her there?
Okay, well, no. Like,
this
that
is a guy that's
going to
get stuck on jury duty.
Yeah. Now, I would say...
There's
like,
crumbs everywhere.
To pop a hole in... Okay, well, so definitely sketchy is Coburn calling in the RAV4 plates.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, very early on.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a very early thing that happens. Yeah. So it's like... He's just like, okay, just checking. All right, thanks.
Yep.
You know, like, what was that about? We don't know. Yeah. There's just a lot of I don't have all the dates like in mind. But yeah, it's like Halloween that the burnings that Halloween that everything happens. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed. I expected to show up with like a lot of yarn attached with clothespins thumbtacks all over the room.
Yeah.
Like outlining for fast reference.
I was trying to find a graph online all day to print out that showed all the major players so we could have it.
Well, they had
I
that kind of like going
any.
Through
they
that,
did
little,
have,
that little family tree of
we didn't even talk about the first thing, which is if you don't know much about this. The first episode is about how he was exonerated for an attempted rape that he was in jail for what, 18 years. For that, and they definitely found DNA of the other person that did it. Who in and then where the people prosecuting him had gotten a call from another county with someone else confessing to this crime, saying, I think you got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Right. And they just like, it's lost it on a sticky note, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
By the way, I listened to the podcast Radiolab a lot, and they did one about that, you know, basically the first episode. There's like a Radiolab about that. Mm-hmm. That came out like 5 years ago.
About the DNA stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So it came out, you know, not too
prior
long.
To him.
Right, no, prior to 2010. It was like after... It was after he'd gotten out of jail, and they talked to Stephen
Avery.
But
before he murdered that woman.
Right, but before he was framed of murdering this woman.
What are we legally allowed to say on podcasts?
I think all of this.
I think it's all fair game.
I think it's law that as long as no more than 50,000 people listen to it, you can say
then
anything.
We're fine.
It's fine. It's not liable up until
our
that
four
point.
Listeners in Australia are going to be super confused by
well,
this
is illegal in Australia.
Yeah.
We can't set foot there.
You can't podcast
in
Australia.
But he's in jail now. I mean, he's convicted. He's found guilty. He's in jail. So... You know, what are you going to do? But it is pretty...
What are we going to do? What can be done? Like, the appeals court seems to have gone through.
Yep.
They're trying to take it to federal? Is that the next step they can do?
Yep.
Like, the state turned it down. Like, Wisconsin state was like, nope, we're not going to take this case again.
No.
And even the Innocence Project totally backed away from him.
Yeah, completely. Right?
Yeah,
if that's too much.
Yeah.
Oh, Will's like, because he's guilty.
Yeah, because...
The Guilty Project will take him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the Innocence Project backed away because of what? Why? I don't know why.
Well, because of, I mean, he was like their poster boy when he first got out.
Yeah.
The first time. And then they basically were like, well, I guess this just proves it. And right. Because he also, God, what was he going to get? Like $1 million? $2 million?
$30 million.
No, so yeah, it was like
36 million or something.
Yeah. He was suing for, well, who knows
wrongful
how much he would have gotten.
Yeah.
I'm sure the like judge would have knocked it down somewhat or whoever picks that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was suing for like $40 million, I think.
Right.
And then literally, it was like he took a fast settlement to get $500,000
to pay for
lawyers who actually had been to law school.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And like, so like that, I don't, the motive. Okay. So he's obviously, he has issues for sure. He's definitely a violent dude. Would wave a gun at his cousin
or
whatever.
He doused a cat in gasoline and threw it on a
fire. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's not really brought up in as much detail. Referenced.
I would like to talk about that for a second. I get the feeling, like, I really fucking focused on watching this show. I get the feeling that a lot of people were like, had this show on while they were doing dishes or something. Because, like, there were like revelations that people posted after the fact. And I was like, that was in the show.
Yes.
Well, like, I remember the cat thing was a big one.
It's in the first episode. Did they say he was doused?
Yeah, they said the cat was doused in oil, and I believe they have Stephen Avery. It's him saying
it's
not somebody else.
It's not a revelation. That's enough for some people to just fixate on.
Well, it's in the first episode.
Because the internet loves cats, Red. I don't know if you know that.
I noticed.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, yeah. we tossed over the fire.
But they also was like, you know, he would get in a little bit of trouble, you know, a little bit of armed robbery, a little bit of animal cruelty. Yeah. And I'm like,
It's also amazing how, like, his brother worked for the sheriff's department. His cousin was married to a cop. Yeah. One of her best friends was a cop. It's like it's this crochet of like citizens that are like doing all kinds of crimes, and then their relatives that are on the police force. It's this weird mix.
Yeah, isn't even like a guy, if it's not Coburn, a guy who looks just like Coburn is one of the people leading Brendan Dassey away from the trial. It is Coburn,
yeah,
right?
It's Coburn.
It's like that's how small this town is.
Yeah.
There's they all fucking know.
They have
and
five cops.
And they've hated the Averys for a long time.
Yeah.
Does anyone like
that's
just, okay,
the
they
only
own
thing
a junk.
They agree on.
They own a junk place.
Yeah.
And there's jokes about them being incestuous. And there's also some accusations. Like, at least Brendan, who knows what the fuck, anything coming out of Brendan's mouth, we don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But he claims that he was molested by Steven.
Yeah.
So there's like all this stuff. I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it's making it look pretty bad, actually, isn't it?
No.
If you're not sorry, I can't help you. What I don't want you to do is spend the rest of your life in prison. Can you look at me? Do you want to spend the rest of your life in prison? You did a very bad thing.
Yeah, but I was only there for the fire, though.
Brendan, you haven't told me the truth yet. And what I don't want you to do right now is tell me any more lies. So you're going to make a decision before you start writing anything. You're going to write the complete truth, no matter what the truth is.
Can we get to, I feel like people haven't talked enough about the biggest mystery in Making a Murder, which is how does Stephen Avery have three long-term girlfriends?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that, like,
he
is one of the most.
Jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One he's that got
he
game.
In jail. Yeah.
He's got
so
game.
So much game.
With that, like, that body and that accent, he's still fucking, like, how are there single people? I don't. And what is it about Stephen Avery? There's no part where I was like, this man is incredibly charming.
His array of haircuts throughout the entire thing. It's like, oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Come on.
All right, maybe next time. Oh, man, come on.
Yeah. I like how if you watch when you watch the first episode, it does set up the entire rest of the documentary really well, which I didn't realize until I went back to watch it. But it ends with one of his earlier lawyers saying, if you sue the cops in court, make sure you don't live in the same city that you're doing it in, because they will frame you for murder. And then it's like the rest of the episode. So it's like it's kind of setting all that up.
But honestly, when that other dude came out and said, it would have been easier to kill him. As fucked up as that is, I think it would have been easier to kill him versus having someone else killed and setting up a murder.
It's elaborate.
Like, because it's pretty elaborate.
Well, I don't think there's no part of me that thinks the cops killed Teresa Halbach. I think there was another.
But somebody did?
Yes, and I don't think it's the cops. I think somebody killed Teresa Halbach.
Yeah.
And they decided it was Stephen Avery. And they were like,
they were going to make sure it happened.
Deciding it was Stephen Avery by, what, putting her body on his property?
I mean, yeah, that's if you buy that property. If you buy that defense, that's the thing.
And yeah. All of that, like.
I mean, if you think it was. I mean, the Avery
property. That's moving a body, though. That's like.
Mm hmm.
I mean, they were going to have to move it anyway.
Yeah.
Because
moving a body and then dropping a key are two very different things.
Right.
Like, they have to get on that property. They have to
You're saying, like, what the police are capable
of. Yeah, like, when would they be capable of moving that body and getting that body onto the Avery property and burning it so close to
the incompetence level is pretty high in the police department.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody to be that smart in that town.
No, well, listen, based on what we've seen, I would say the prosecutors I would trust to execute that series of actions more than I would expect Stephen Avery to just randomly murder a person.
All right.
And to do that half-assed job covering it up.
I felt like there was a forensic scientist who, pathologist perhaps, that said that the bones in the burn pile had not DNA, but like residue that was found, you could find only in the, because there was some sort of giant excavation pit nearby that everyone would go and party, and they had a big burn area there.
Is that in the dock?
No, it's one of those. Yeah, it's all those missing evidence.
I got in a huge Twitter war with Pajiba over this.
Right, because they're the ones that posted that.
Yeah.
That Pajiba post is like things that got left out that prove.
So So what I didn't realize is the Pajiba Twitter handle. It turns out this. I will get to the points he had, but the Pajiba Twitter handle is also the guy who created the site's personal Twitter handle.
Mm.
So I was like, I wasn't trying to call the guy out. But I was just, I did not realize that was the case.
Right.
And I was just like, what the fuck is Pajiba doing?
Yeah.
So the site, what bothers me about that is he basically spent an afternoon Googling shit.
Yeah.
And then posted an article with like a bunch of like, not seen in the documentary. There were several facts that were in the documentary.
Yeah, there were. Yeah.
Like there was no major effort. It's a pop culture site.
Yeah.
He was commenting on it as a pop culture thing. And it's like, oh, here's some stuff that's inconsistent.
Yeah, he took stuff from Reddit, I think.
Right, which is fine as long as it's not an actual murder. Like if we're watching
Guardians of the Galaxy versus
woman. Yeah, if we're watching The Sopranos, like sure, show me the stills from the set that solved this for me.
Right.
But he did like an afternoon's worth of work because to keep that site running, that's the most amount he can do.
That's probably the first thing that comes to the top five things about this when you Google it.
And then there are like a bunch of serious news places quoted that article of like half-ass Googling.
See, that's bad journalism.
That's the thing. Like, so I was posting like, these are a bunch of fucking Reddit facts that he scooped up without cross-checking or doing any serious investigation on. And then,
media outlets didn't fact-check anything as well. Like,
but yeah, no. Like, so they're certainly more at fault than Pajiba. People who regularly read Pajiba, I don't know how to pronounce that, by the way. The more times I say it, the more I get worried about it.
Like an HJ,
Pajiba.
Not an HJ. You know what I mean? Not
you
an
want
HJ.
Some popcorn.
But people who regularly read that site obviously realize it's a pop culture commentary, and they would treat it as seriously as me talking about Game of Thrones.
Like, I feel like I know people that write for that site, too. There's like some comics that write for that site. Yeah.
Oh, are there? I don't know.
Like Joe Starr, I think.
Joanna Robinson writes for it, and she was the person who got real mad at me when she thought I was calling out Dustin. you're right. It's the news organizations that are using that as a source are certainly more culpable, but at the same time, like, you have to be aware.
Well, with anything like
of what you're doing in something like that
is
an
true.
Actual murder, and I understand it's in the pop culture zeitgeist.
When
so you
start,
need to comment
well,
on it in some way.
When you start nitpicking all these things, you start getting into all these details because, like,
like,
I don't know, like, you can go like way off the deep end saying that like the police had this elaborate plan to set up Stephen Avery.
I don't. So
it's just like
No, not set up, frame. They're very different. They're very different.
To frame him.
Well, I like your point, though. I think what you're saying as a point is that, like, basically we're in this era of Serial, of Making a Murderer, of The Jinx, where we are having, like, these armchair sleuthing.
It's happening
and
right now.
It is. And we're doing it. We're participating in it as
and
well.
And Paradise Lost.
And there's this tradition that comes from, like... exonerating people or trying to like prove or the opposite with the Jinx, like trying to prove, trying to nail this guy.
Right.
And we're not qualified and also we don't have to adhere to journalistic standards.
But
because like, we're a podcast. Who gives a shit? Exactly. Yeah. We're a comedy podcast, arguably.
But when you do a police investigation, most times you have a lot of information, and especially with a high profile case like this, because this was high profile going into it because of who he was.
Yeah.
And the first time he goes to jail, there was, you know, no evidence against him. This time, it's a completely separate case, and that's what they were trying. That's what the defense was trying to do. Was trying to say, look what they did to him before. They're trying to do this to him again.
Right.
That was really their only argument because the case against him was so strong.
Right.
Even if you take out some of the testimony, even if you take out, say, the key, there is still enough evidence to convict him.
Right.
But I do believe, I don't think anything happened in that house, though. That's the thing that still bugs me.
I think it happened in the RAV4, maybe? There would have been, like, bullets or some more
blood or something. Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if she was stabbed or had her throat slit. I don't think that
Trying to think of, like,
happened.
How the RAV4, like, what are the possible scenarios? Of, like, also, I was like, why would they need to put her body in the car at all?
Well, they talked about I watched another
you
documentary.
The new one. Oh, the brand. So what is that one? Discovery Channel?
What's it called?
Discovery Investigations. It's just a basic talking head show about like reviewing the case.
Sure.
And they give you the basic.
Do they do a series of cases or did they have like a specific one-off thing about?
This is just a kind of a one-off thing.
Okay.
It's a regular show that they do on that
right.
station.
Oh, okay. It just happens to be this one.
This was like a
this.
Big 42-minute special about this case. And they go through it, say, hey, he was convicted and sent to jail for 18 years for a crime he didn't commit, but then this other thing came up. Here's what was presented in the documentary. Here are some cases. Here is some evidence that was not presented either at all or very briefly in the documentary. Then they also talked to one of Stephen Avery's attorneys, and they talked to the prosecuting attorney with a brand new interview.
Wait, Krantz?
Yes.
Krantz. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. And no, but he comes in and he basically says, like, yeah, we have all this evidence. And I'm like, yeah, you're still a jackass.
And he no longer.
But you are right.
Because he got Ford sexting a woman
a
who he was.
Yes, but that had nothing to do with the case.
No, but it's character stuff.
Hey, if you're talking about him like throwing a cat over a fire, like when he's a teenager.
Yeah,
this
was a victim that he was helping to prosecute. Like she had been beaten, and he was helping her prosecuting her case, and was sexting her.
Yes,
that's terrible.
Yeah, it's rotten. It's totally rotten.
And was telling her like, if you want me to do a good job, you're gonna suck this damn.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't.
Yeah, he's a creep.
Yeah, he is.
Total creep.
But
in this case of Stephen Avery, I think the evidence he presented was.
No, I don't think so.
The problem is, though, you're not supposed to prosecute character. It's almost like people were out to get the Averys, and he was on trial again, and they were like, well, I don't know if he did it or not, but fuck it, he's an Avery, and he's going to go. Especially because he was found guilty on murder, but not guilty on mutilating a corpse, but then guilty on, like...
Because they didn't have enough evidence to show that he... That was basically everything that happened in the house.
Yeah.
There is a big... The big question for me is, you know... Not who did it, because I think Stephen Avery did.
Yeah.
But how did it happen? What was the timeline? Because the timeline that they are giving is not...
Well, first of all, Ken Krantz rolled up behind Teresa Halbach.
You know Ken Krantz did something.
He had texted her some dirty messages.
Yeah.
And she was not receptive. And she was like, I'm going to send this to your supervisor. And then that didn't work. And then he murdered her.
I feel like it kind of comes back to... Brandon Dassey's older brother, or I can't
think.
Bobby Dassey.
I'm such a fucking vessel when I watch these types of shows. Can I curse on this podcast?
Yes, you
can.
Fuck yeah, you
I'm so, like, when I'm watching them, I'm like trying to figure out what's happening and when they're guiding me. And it's weird to read after the fact. Like, so many people have, like, built this world where, like, clearly it was this relative. Did you see the way he raised his eyebrow in this, like, early scene?
No.
I'm going back to random online stuff. Someone also just threw, and they kind of do this in the doc, they kind of throw the ex-boyfriend in the mix a little bit, like, because that's a typical, in a lot of these cases, it's an ex.
And it's a missing cell phone records.
Right, and then there's like, that is still weird. That's messages. Still weird. Yeah. That was just there, and then just like, okay, let's move on to other things that came up.
So there's, especially with this documentary, I feel like there's two, like, I feel, how do you feel about this type of documentary?
That's a good question.
Does it feel like should this shit even exist?
Yeah,
it totally should. It's my very good friend is a court reporter.
Piece of shit.
He's a court.
The way you started that sentence.
Yeah,
one of my best friend in the world.
Yeah.
Oh no, did a kill and murder 17.
Oh no,
he actually did.
He
kill somebody.
A piece of shit. He is, and I hope he hears that. This was his job, is to sit in courtrooms and listen to this stuff over and over. And he came out and he's like, the case itself and the documentary itself is incredible. It's very compelling. The story is very interesting, especially from a standpoint where of my profession. However, he is 100% guilty.
Well, like, he's a liar. We already established Matt Dinger is full of shit. Yeah.
So, like, based on his, like, seeing people go to jail, seeing people convicted, and let go.
So that brings up, I believe that that these kind of documentaries are good for one of two reasons. Either one, the correct one, Stephen Avery is innocent, and hopefully this brings about media such that he gets exonerated. Or this is just how court cases always happen. This is, like, murder cases are always this gray. Like, we always have conflicting pieces of evidence that you can't really explain. And if that's the case, I think it's great. It's a great way to show people just how fucked the justice system is as a rule, which I think is disturbing in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which usually it's way more cut and dry, in that you have more than one person involved. One person will rat out the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
don't have a 16-year-old who can't, like, answer any questions.
That's the thing.
One of your defendants.
Yeah, like that guy again. Like, I don't trust half the things he said.
Oh,
like,
but have you heard the rap?
Yes,
the
I
rap.
Did. That was in the Discovery documentary.
No, I don't.
It wasn't.
Very,
it was.
I don't listen to hip hop.
Can you burst it up off the Slack?
What?
Brendan Dassey's half brother, who's also a Dassey. This is Brad Dassey. He's a half brother, so same dad, different mom.
Okay.
He's a Christian rapper.
Oh, wonderful.
And he made a rap.
Does he work with Hanks?
But you're going to hear the rap right now.
He's suspicious. She's suspicious. Everybody thinks these two just did it. Killed the girl. Such a whirlwind. Got the whole world talking. Talking trash. Just stick to the facts. Leave alone Mr. Krabs. Dude's trying to run. Trying to hide. Ran to Minnesota. Give the guy a soda. Just trying to live his life. Why you got to talk smack? They didn't do it. They didn't do it. No. Come to your senses, everything is just foolish. Things clearly show that it was just a joke. Cops were only there just to prod and poke.
So did he release that before or after the documentary?
Oh, this is definitely him capitalizing on it after the fact. Yeah.
Most definitely.
They didn't do it. He didn't
Brad
do it.
Brad Dassey. Just going back to relatives of the Dasseys, more Dassey.
Yeah.
Does Christianity belong in hip-hop?
I don't know that it was ever out of hip hop.
That's true. That's a good point.
I'll meet you at the crossroads.
Yeah, you should. And then
you guys going to Cornerstone this year.
I like how his lawyers, Stephen Avery's lawyers, have become like heartthrobs of the internet as well.
That feels
Jerry
so.
And oh, Dean. Yeah. Dean and Jerry.
Yeah.
Dean and Jerry. Core. So they are like, I think it was Jerome who didn't even have a Twitter account before and like set one up when the documentary was about to come out, and the way they're using Twitter is I'm actually intellectually okay with, because they're almost all just like posting links about innocence, and you know, it's almost always about the case. It's not them being like, hey, for our services call, you know, like
slip and fall.
Right. Yeah. It's But it does feel like what it is, which is they are capitalizing off of this documentary for publicity. And it's I feel like knowing they're doing that, it's probably the least slimy way it could be done, but it's still definitely a little sleazy.
Mm-hmm. People, the ladies like Dean.
Dean, yeah, surprisingly.
They want some strange with Dean. Yeah.
He has that strong, like, kind of calm confidence.
Yes,
he does. He looks like, he kind of looks like a miniature real life To Kill a Mockingbird.
Atticus Finch.
Atticus Finch.
Yeah.
Like, little shorter. Yeah. Like,
more Jewish.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. Like, if it was age appropriate, you would totally cast Gregory Peck to play Dean Strang in the movie. Like, you know, a little bit taller.
Maybe Jerry.
A little bit taller, a little bit. I'm just saying, you get your natural movie upgrade. I'm not saying he's anywhere near as good looking, but you get 3 or 4 inches more. Like, you get better hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There'd be a couple scenes where it's really hot in the courtroom and everyone's fanning themselves and drinking iced tea. And he's like, I'm no big city lawyer.
That's how you'd know it was a movie. And it'd be like, talk to the continuity guy's like, it's 18 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's October.
Nobody's hot in here. We're not in the South.
We're near Canada. And then people are losing their, they're getting jizz all over the newscasters.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way.
Yes. Well, they're getting boners off the newscasters. You got the salt and pepper guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Super
What's
handsome.
His name?
Salt and pepper guy.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
I don't remember
name.
Any of the newscasters. I just remember that they...
I do.
I feel like they're doing... What? The, you do.
And Jeanette
Levy. You made a connection with some of these people.
And Jeanette Levy was gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she kind of looks like Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, I remember that one.
It's just like, there's all these ugly Midwest people, and then all of a sudden this like...
The people who are on TV.
The one who, like a legit 10.
The TV ready.
Not that I rate women by numbers.
But no.
you assign ratings to women. That's your thing, George.
It's my podcast.
If you haven't met George and you're a woman, you walk up to him and he's like 7.3. Nice to meet you.
There's also a Russian judge next to me. It's Misha.
No, but they also seem the most competent in this entire
documentary. No, they do. Yeah, like, and I was going to say, like, I was actually admiring a thing that Jerry Buding does.
I think your rating has made you not realize her actual confidence level.
Well,
and then the salt and pepper guy.
Oh, we're talking about, the journalists.
Yeah, the journalists. Yeah, yeah. To me, seemed the most competent and most, like, in the entire documentary. Oh, Aaron Keller. Oh, there he is.
The Silver Fox.
Silver Fox.
He's better looking than I remembered. Yeah. I will give you that one.
Yeah. He got a lot of, ladies. That makes more sense than Dean Strang.
Did he have a good voice?
Yeah, he's got a pretty nice voice.
Well, no. What's sexier than justice?
Yeah.
True.
I think that's
what's sexier than an impassioned defense?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get Dean Strang. Nobody's going after Jerry. Like, if a woman's going after Jerry, it's because she doesn't have enough self-esteem to go after Dean.
Right.
But
there's nothing inherently wrong
Jer
with
Bear.
Him. But there's of Jerry, the two, there's a clear choice.
That is true.
He's more of like I'd say a Dan Aykroyd, a young Dan Aykroyd would play him or something.
Yeah, I could see
but I like how he does the thing where he asks a question to the witness and then just turns around because he's so confident
about
the answer that it's like it's such a fucking alpha move. He's such an alpha.
That no look questioning.
Yeah, it's the like no look questioning.
It's the Steph Curry 3, man. It's like just he's like, I made that bucket.
Yeah,
I don't have to do it.
I don't need to see how it's answered.
Yeah,
and they did find the vial. I mean, a lot hinges on that episode with the vial. When they dig up that vial from the evidence,
and they have it right on tape too. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, Will's got something to say about that.
All those vials have holes in them.
No, this is one of those
the
things.
The vials got holes. That's
got
your
holes
rap, the Will Scoville rap.
We could go.
The vials have holes.
First of all, there are 10 hours of this documentary. Like, we've forgotten 70% of it at this point.
Not more.
And so, like, once you've, like, made up your mind, you just remember the details. They're, the key points that reinforce your view.
Because the whole time I was watching this, I was like, dude, that guy totally, he's totally getting set up. And then, it was when I was done with it, and I'm just like,
Who else would have done it?
Wait a minute, And that's when I started thinking,
you're not
totally
supposed to think after Netflix.
No.
Netflix and chill, Will. Yeah.
Switch back over to Parks and Rec and watch that again. Excellent show. Very, very
also
good
Rashida
show.
Jones.
Also has actually Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
We've learned nothing else tonight.
It's that we love Rashida Jones.
Has anybody seen her new show? Is it good?
I have not.
Have not. But she's also making an appearance in this other documentary I was talking about, the one about that jazz musician, because he was, it's called Keep on Keeping On, Clark Terry.
Yeah.
Because he was like a big mentor to Quincy Jones, who helped pay for that whole movie. So there's this one tiny scene in it where like, oh, Rashida Jones.
And she's the daughter
of Quincy Jones.
Of Quince.
And Peggy Lipton. Okay, this is going and turning to a different Twin Peaks kind of themed episode. I don't know. I don't think that you've convinced me that it absolutely was him, because there's still not.
there's still a lot of garbage that the police were involved with, and
for sure,
and there's still a lot of questions about the actual timeline that happened. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of that is up in the air.
And they haven't found the murderer. Like, that's a big one.
They
haven't
found the person, Stephen Avery,
who killed Teresa Halbach.
I'm not quite sure the timeline.
They didn't do it. They didn't do it.
Right.
They didn't do it.
He did it, but
did you not hear the rap? Do we have to play it again?
Okay, let's go back to it one more time.
Oh no, that's
you're listening to Sup Doc 89.1 FM. This is off topic, but Adnan, you mentioned him earlier. Isn't he getting a new trial?
Literally today, he is in court to determine whether or not he gets to so I don't know exactly how it works, but based on one specific piece of evidence, they are deciding today if only that piece of evidence is allowable, and then if it is. So it's based on what's her name?
Is it Aisha?
It was the woman who saw him during that period at the library. Asia. It could have been Asia.
Yeah. Okay, right.
So if they allow her testimony, then he gets some sort of other. I don't know if it's a full trial or if it's.
It's probably like an appeal or something, because they have to prove that, like, this changes the story enough to say we got to retrial and re-examine all the evidence.
This is more to determine whether or not he has standing based on this specific piece of evidence. It's not based on. They can't just, like, well, then this, you know, like, it's whether or not this specific piece of evidence
changes
allows him to have a new trial.
Yep.
And
so,
it sucks for Serial that, like, how do you follow up a season like that? You know,
I haven't
listened
to the new one.
I've listened to just the first two episodes.
I am caught up, and I'm very mad that they've gone to an every other week format. Yeah. I like it a lot. The problem is with, and I don't know if this is a mistake on their part or if they did this on purpose, but it definitely makes it less compelling and less shareable. Is the story that they're going after, there's no question about what happened.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah.
The guy joined the Taliban, that one.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, they
I guess there is a question about what
happened. Well, I guess I haven't
right,
listening.
So, but the point is, like, they're telling you the story of what happened, and nobody's
refuting.
Questioning the story. Huh. So there's no...
It's not as much at stake.
That's not true. There's a ton at stake. Uh-huh. I mean, the question that you're ultimately answering at the end of this podcast, but we have nowhere near enough information to even, like, start... I have nowhere near enough information to say, like, oh, he should be court-martialed, or he shouldn't, or they shouldn't have gone to get him, or they should, or, you know. It's... ultimately, the question is, like, whether this guy, what he did, if he did it for a good enough reason, and, you know, whether or not he should suffer punishments as a result of that.
See, I think that's why a show like this and then a series like Serial was so successful, is that there is a huge gap where there's no one else to really corroborate evidence.
Right,
yeah.
And there is a huge gap in the timeline, and people don't quite understand what exactly happened.
Well, also, after the first episode of Serial... You knew basically the whole outline of it.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that this guy was in jail, this other person's dead. And after the first one, you're like, this doesn't sound right. And you're like, wait, who's that other guy? And like, why? Like, how does this all fit together?
Yeah.
And like, as you keep getting more information, you can like revise your theory and like think about it more and like go look up stuff. What I think happened, because I was following, and tell me if we're getting too far on the Serial track, but is with that first season, Sarah Koenig hated people going to do research on their own.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She hated that. Mm-hmm. Like, you saw her a lot of time, like she was so frustrated with people, like, have you considered this? And she's like, of course I have. Like, I'm not a fucking idiot. I've spent a year investigating this story.
Right.
Like, wait for the next episode. And, like, which, by the way, I thought that was, incredibly naive to the point of being offensive to be like, these are real people. It's not a fucking story you're telling.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like,
that's a good point.
If there's evidence out there, like, people should be looking at it and but trying
then,
to find it.
If you have to listen to every single person who has some, like, wild hair up there, it's like you end
drove,
up like.
Why it drove her nuts.
Yeah.
Like, as a professional storyteller, but like to think that people would just like sit there and wait patiently for mm-hmm. her episode next week. When these are, you know, real yeah. things that happen in the world right. and there's facts
well,
out
they
there.
Had the same argument with the Jinx because the last episode kind of gives away, you know, some really important evidence, you know, of Robert Durst because, mm-hmm. you know, and they waited to put that episode out.
Right.
Even though they had him already on tape and stuff. But
that's the same, you can say the same thing about, like, the Thin Blue Line. Like,
that's right.
They had that and you didn't know that until that movie came out.
I have less of a problem with the Jinx. Because they had a resolution, unlike all this other stuff we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a clear, nobody got to the end, and they're like, I wonder.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you think, mm. you know, let me go over that stuff. You're like, no, oh, that is an ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Siri, I think she chose a story that wouldn't have people, like, second-guessing her the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's kicked her. I think that's... It's less of a topic of conversation. Like, you're not going to have a serial podcast where you talk about all your theories about it.
Right.
That's interesting. But she also had no... She was not leaning one way or the other on that series, which is what I really liked about Serial.
It was much more neutral, even though, like, she clearly had a good relationship with Adnan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, she definitely voiced the concerns that you were having as a listener. Whereas and very clearly in Making a Murderer, like, they thought Stephen Avery was innocent.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
And that was the story they were conveying.
I was going to say, we talked about the directors, Laura Ricciardi and Moira Demos. I didn't realize that Ricciardi has a law degree and an MFA in film. So this is like how she overlapped between film and knowing law. And so I'm also wondering, what's their next project, and do we have to wait 10 years for it?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting thing. They started this documentary when it
2005.
When it was just about a guy
right.
who had been falsely accused of a crime.
Yeah.
And then, like, after they started covering it, all this other shit happens.
I know. That's incredible.
Which is what makes it so nuts.
It is.
Yep.
That's one of those perfect documentaries when it's like, it's incredible that you had cameras rolling and all this unfolded while you were there.
Yeah.
Also, HBO could have put this out because they met with HBO, HBO and PBS passed on.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So that's surprising.
Once again, Netflix for the win.
Yep.
What? So then the question.
Not a sponsor.
And I think Red brought this up earlier, but does this documentary succeed? And I think it does. I think it's a great documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it certainly is. It's compelling. Like, that's obvious. As a piece of pop culture, it has clearly knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that, like, four human adults met to talk about it and were, like, kind of excited about
it. Well, George is here.
Yeah.
adult, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but
I'm here. Whatever you say, Paco. I'll do whatever you say.
But I think either it's brought more light to a case that needs to be justified, or it's shown that the legal system is just fucked,
mm-hmm.
and it brings more light on how terrible the justice system is.
Amen.
And so it succeeds on those fronts.
What's really scary is at the very first episode where he won't admit that he was guilty, so they are like, well, you'll never be pardoned then. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, you were innocent. Sorry about that mm-hmm. whole, like, you didn't admit you were guilty and you can't be pardoned.
But
episode one, pretty much. Yeah.
So, well, I don't think it's about being pardoned. I think it's about, like, you...
Or not pardoned, but paroled. I'm
paroled,
sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I meant, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that is standard and fucked.
It is, yeah. And that's my point.
But standard.
Yes.
Like, because a big part of whether or not... it must be different on a state-by-state basis, but I think in most of the places I've heard about, you have to show remorse.
Right.
And if you're not admitting you did it, you are not showing remorse.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that scene with, Mark O'Keefe and Brandon was just like, are you sorry? Are you sorry you did it? I didn't do it. No, are you sorry, though?
Yeah.
I'm sorry she's dead. Well, say you're sorry.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm sorry she's dead.
It started making me ill watching that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That part was just like, this kid has no fucking chance at all.
There's a lot of, I have to look up what it's about, but there's a lot of the way that cops are trained to get confessions mm-hmm. is like very much under question now as being something that produces false confessions.
Yeah. Well, they don't want the truth. They want you to confess.
Well, they will always try to get you to talk to them without a lawyer.
Yeah, oh,
because
always.
Everything they that you say can be used against you.
Yes.
We should have brought a cop on this show.
Well, we can add.
Yeah, or a cop lawyer. Comedians.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Not in this town. Every lawyer I've ever talked to has always said, don't talk to cops. And
yeah.
I think Jessica Jones has also proved that to be.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes.
Well, Red, thank you so much.
No, thanks for having me.
I think we've take Will's mic away. I think we've realized that he's guilty. Stephen Avery.
We didn't do it. Okay, no well, one's joining me on that at all.
I definitely didn't do it.
No, you didn't.
I didn't participate in a Christian rap
let
song.
Let the dogs
primarily.
Out.
You did let the dogs out, though. But thank you.
Yeah, and what else are you working on? You're going to be bringing back your podcast?
If you like Game of Thrones, you can look up boarsgoreandswords.com, or you can find us on Twitter at boarsgoreswords. We're probably going to be starting that up again soon. With my co-host Ivan Hernandez,
who's been on this show before, also.
Yeah. Oh, has he?
Talking about comedian.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter at @red_Scott.
Beautiful.
Thanks
and you can
a lot,
find
Red.
Me railing about Bernie Sanders right now.
Sweet. And Will, thank you very much for participating.
Oh, and I like your Photoshop you made of yourself as Stephen Avery.
I did not nice. Make that.
Yeah, who made that?
I don't know.
I did.
Oh, you made it?
Yeah. It's the one on our Facebook page.
I got really terrified that somebody, some third party had made that.
He's a third party.
Yeah. All right.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. You can find episodes of SupDoc on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Please review, subscribe, and rate.
And you can follow us on Twitter at @SupDocPodcast and online at SupDocPodcast.com.
This show is produced by Will Scovel, and our theme music is by David Siegel.
If you want to suggest a documentary or a future guest, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
Dreaming of starting your own podcast? Make it a reality with the Movo Pod Kit, the podcast bundle designed for aspiring podcasters ready to share their voice with the world. The Pod Kit is equipped with everything you'll need to sound like a pro while being backed by a one-year warranty with a US-based support team. Start your podcasting journey today with the Movo Pod Kit and let the world hear your story. Movo, creators wanted.